Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's emerged that €108,000 has been spent by the government on security at the Cashel Mara Hotel since the beginning of the year. There's concern that the €300 million overspend in the capital plan for nursing homes will impact projects in Donegal. Residents in Calais are calling on Donegal County Council to install traffic calming measures in a bid to reduce the speed of motorists travelling through the border village. And a Donegal councillor is calling on the Social Protection Minister to consider her position after the Data Protection Commission found the state's use of the public services card to be illegal. Those stories to follow on Phil, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, it's emerged that €108,000 has been spent by the government on security at the Cashel Mara Hotel since the beginning of the year. The building in Moville has been under guard since it was badly damaged in a fire last November. The fire came shortly after it was revealed that the hotel was to be used as a direct provision centre for asylum seekers waiting to have their cases heard. The security costs were detailed in the Irish Times today on foot of Freedom of Information requests submitted by journalist Saoirse Pollock. On today's 9 till noon show, she told Greg Hughes that this fire and a similar incident in Ruskie, County Leitrim, has left asylum seekers very nervous.
There was a lot of fear last November. I know quite a few asylum seekers and asylum seeker groups around the country, and totally understandably, people were feeling very scared after that happened because these were empty buildings. But what if there's a building with people inside? And the buildings that were targeted, there were security present. I know at Ruskie there was security present, and very fortunately no one was injured in the incident. But we can only hope that it doesn't happen again.
And why is this still the responsibility of the state to defend? Do we know of their intention going forward? Is it still to use this for direct provision, or is it they've signed a contract and therefore they're responsible for the protection of the building?
The building is still set to open as a direct provision centre. That's what I've been told. It's just taken a lot longer than was expected. I mean, the FY material that I received show that the contractor was eager for the centre to open as soon as possible after the fire. But the repairs and then the insurance around the fire took significantly longer. I'm not entirely clear at present at what the exact positioning is on dates and when it will open, but I have been told that it is due to open. Now, this comes at a time when there is a real issue around space for asylum seekers in the country, because we've seen a number of direct provision centres close, and as a result, the emergency accommodation centres have been cropping up, temporary locations where people stay for between a few weeks and a few months. This time last year, we never would have seen that coming, and they've been in place since about November of 2018, these smaller centres around the place.
Boris Johnson is under mounting pressure to recall the British Parliament following a leaked government report. Operation Yellowhammer gives an insight into the UK's preparations for a no-deal Brexit. Sean O'Regan reports.
The document, which was leaked over the weekend, told us mostly of what was already predicted in a no-deal scenario. The immediate impacts of a crash-out Brexit were all addressed. The movement of goods and people, food supplies, healthcare, border checks, and of course a hard border in Ireland. But now 10 Downing Street is trying to play down the report. Sky's political reporter Rob Powell says the British government is less than impressed with the leak.
Angry and blaming former ministers who they see as trying to scupper Brexit in the past and trying to do the same again.
Boris Johnson is heading to Berlin and Paris to call for a new Brexit agreement and is expected to reiterate to both Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron that Britain will leave on October 31st. Some British MPs say they'll block a withdrawal without an agreement, and Jeremy Corbyn claims he'll bring a vote of no confidence in the government to stop a no-deal Brexit. Michael Gove, though, who's in charge of no-deal preparations, says it's time they all give up.
The sooner that everyone recognises that we will leave on that day, the quicker we can move towards a good deal.
It's been 1,152 days since Britain voted to leave the EU, and with 73 days until the deadline, the potentially dire aftershocks of a no-deal outcome have become a lot clearer now that they're in black and white.
Residents in Killay are calling on Donegal County Council to install traffic calming measures in a bid to reduce the speed of motorists travelling through the border village. Fear is mounting that someone will be killed unless urgent action is taken to reduce speed in the area. Spokesperson for the Killay Concerned Residents Group, Sean Carden, says commuter traffic is one element, but says at times when there is a higher volume of traffic passing through the village, such as the weekend of the Donegal Rally, residents feel they are under siege.
Killay, obviously, as a border, it's a unique border village in terms of sharing the one village between north and south. Population has drastically increased in the last 10, 15 years. It's quadrupled in size, but with that comes added traffic. And what you've got is you've got a situation where you have a population who, in the last few weeks with the Donegal Rally particularly, felt under siege because the amount of cars that were driving erratically in the area. And then you've got the commuter traffic coming through the valley. Then the back roads themselves, it's not the first time we've seen high-speed pursuits on both sides of the border, chasing cars across the border. So the speed is a major factor in terms of people's safety in the valley.
Yeah, and what do locals think could be done to try and alleviate the problems?
Well, you know, we've seen in more recent times neighbouring villages getting access to resources that would provide traffic calming. Although in some cases some people might object to that, we have to factor in the health and safety and the safety of our residents in the village. But we would like to see, and we've been working with the local council on this, we've been working with Paul Canning, Fianna Fáil and Terry Crossan, Sinn Féin, the recently elected councillor of Sinn Féin. We've been working with them to try and resolve the issue and bring it to the table of the council to resource it. And also there's been residents meetings with the guards regarding the behaviour of some of the drivers in the area that's living and then visiting people to the area. So we would like to see a safe measure of traffic calming getting into the area.
There's concern that the €300 million overspend in the capital plan for nursing homes will impact projects in Donegal. Donegal Deputy Patrick O'Gallagher says the overspend is particularly worrying as despite years of discussion, the plan does not count additional commitments given to add three Donegal facilities to the plan. Deputy Gallagher says there have been numerous verbal promises made regarding St Joseph's Community Hospital Stranorter, the Remelton Nursing Unit and Lifford Community Hospital, but no written commitments have been received. He says urgent clarity is necessary.
Back in April of 2017, Minister McHugh announced that there'd be a multi-annual plan and that would be amended to include these hospitals. Now, we've been told time and time again when we met Minister Daly when he was in the county a few weeks ago that funding would be provided. But the only funding that I see that's been provided is to ensure that the hospitals are brought up to the derogation that has been given by HICWA up until 2021. So this unearths the whole question again, where the funding is for these three hospitals. I have raised this time and time again. I felt at one stage I was being an alarmist, but I think the story yesterday bears out exactly my concerns.
There's an old adage that whatever commitments are given, unless you get them in writing, they're not worth the paper they're written on. That would appear to be very much the case here.
We've been told this verbally, and any time that we try to raise this, I remember both myself and Deputy Pierce Doherty raising this by way of a question in the Dáil that same evening. The Minister Daly and Minister McHugh were in Ballybofey saying what's opposite to what's been said by the officials. But all I can accept now is what we're being told at official level, and that's it's been suggested that there's some money being provided just to paper up the cracks to get us over 2021, and that's certainly not good enough. We want the government, we want the ministers, and particularly Minister McHugh, to step up to the plate and to give an absolute assurance in writing rather than verbally.
Police in the north are blaming dissident Republicans for the bomb attack in County Fermanagh this morning. The explosion happened as police and an army bomb disposal unit were at the scene at Wattle Bridge close to Newton Butler just after 10:30. They were investigating another alert when the blast happened. No one was injured, but police say a number of officers are lucky to be alive. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar's condemned this morning's explosion, saying it could have had devastating consequences. Deputy Chief Constable Stephen Martin from the Police Service of Northern Ireland says they have an idea who may be responsible.
We are of the belief this attack has been carried out by dissident Republican groupings. The two who have been most active this year in Northern Ireland is the Continuity IRA and the New IRA, And I think one of those groups would be a very good starting point for the investigation.
A Donegal councillor is calling on Social Protection Minister Regina Doherty to consider her position after the Data Protection Commission found the state's use of the public services card is illegal. In March of last year, Councillor Albert Doherty successfully moved a motion calling for the rollout of the cards to be suspended after a constituent complained that he was required to have a card in order to renew his passport and driving licence. He says not only did the minister disregard that motion, she also disregarded the concerns of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties and numerous other groups and individuals. Now, Councillor Doherty says the state is potentially facing EU fines because of the minister's actions.
Over 2 years ago, she was receiving concerns from ICCL and other concerned groups who were very, very upset that the privacy rights of individuals were being undermined. I believe this blatant disregard, the consumers' money spent since, something like 60 million, and now what could be coming down the road from Europe, perhaps further fines for our government and our country. Regina Doherty should have taken notice of what was coming from the people, what was coming from the concerned groups. She didn't, and I believe she should be called to account.
She pursued the public services card with a zeal, it could be argued. You believe that that zeal shadowed her thinking and gave her blinkers, as it were?
Very much so. There seemed to be this blatant disregard for the numerous concerns that were being brought to her attention. The Irish Council for Civil Liberties in particular were concerned about the privacy and the rights of the individual being undermined. However, it seemed to be plough ahead. It seems that she was more interested in keeping multinationals happy than getting to the groups who had underlying issues with the data protection. I said, an individual in my own area felt aggrieved that for his renewing of his driving license, for his passport, he had to have the card. He took exception to that. I did a bit of research. I submitted what Donegal County Council supported. And now we're in a bit of a sweatbox because of the disregard of Minister Doherty.
It could be Wednesday before the High Court decides whether or not to grant an order preventing a strike by some Ryanair pilots. The airline's trying to get an injunction which would stop 180 Irish-based pilots walking off the job on Thursday and Friday. It claims the Irish Airline Pilots Association, which is part of FORSA, has failed to make clear what sort of pay increases it's looking for and walked out of mediation talks early. The union has yet to make its case to the court, and the judge has indicated it could be Wednesday before a decision is made. It means Ryanair passengers will have to wait to find out what sort of disruption the planned strike will cause. Ireland's blame culture is contributing to the shortage of consultants, according to the Institute of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. It's after it was revealed that 28,000 women are waiting to be seen by a gynecologist. Letterkenny University Hospital had one of the highest figures outside Dublin at 1,783, second only to Galway. Obstetricians and gynecologists are said to change specialities more often than other consultants because of an increased likelihood of a legal case against them. Chair of the Institute, Dr. Cliona Murphy, says it's too much pressure for some.
We have a bit more of a blame culture in this country, I think, than other countries. Other countries have more no-fault compensation, where families can be helped along with their resources. You know, I've seen people where, both in midwifery and in obstetrics, where cases really had a lot of, you know, personal strain.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with great back-to-school offers in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's almost 5:15 and time's latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
We start with Gaelic Games, and the triumphant Tipperary hurlers will return to Semple Stadium this evening. The team bus with Liam McCarthy as a passenger is due to arrive in Thurles at around 7 o'clock tonight. James Barry picked up his second All-Ireland medal yesterday, but says their win over Kilkenny will now drive them on to even further success.
Yeah, obviously this is my third final, it's against Kilkenny, and I think Paddy and Shane, I think this is their sixth final. Yeah. It's always against Kilkenny, so yeah, so we've gone through the losing, obviously the lads have lost maybe three or four finals, so it is nice to go through the other side of it and come back. This is my second medal and some of the lads' third medal, so obviously yeah, we'll try and build on this, and some of the lads' first, so they're going to want to maybe get a second medal and stuff, improve, it's not just a fluke for them, so yeah, we'll build on this.
In soccer, St Johnstone's Tyler Tolan made her debut for Manchester City last night. The Manchester club are taking part in the Women's International Champions Cup in the USA, where they faced Atletico Madrid in the third place playoff. City ran out 3-2 winners with Tolan coming on in at the 64th minute. Bohemians are looking to reach their first League Cup final in a decade tonight. Keith Long's side travelled to Oriel Park to face Dundalk in the semi-finals of the EA Sports Cup. Kick-off there 7:45. The winner will go through to play Derry City in the final of the competition. Shamrock Rovers can close the gap on Dundalk to 4 points at the top of the Premier Division tonight. The Hoops go to the RSC to play Waterford, where there's an 8 o'clock kickoff. Waterford's next game will be on Saturday evening against Glengad United in a David versus Goliath tie in the second round of the FAI Senior Cup. Cross-channel Manchester United will look to join Liverpool and Arsenal on 6 points in the Premier League when they visit Wolves tonight. But United lost at Molineux in the top flight in FA Cup last season. Manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says they must learn from those games.
They can play, they can counter-attack, set pieces are always dangerous. So we've been looking at the games we've had last season, see where if there's any tweaks and different things we need to do this time.
Well, it's an all-big game from Wolves, and can they find that same form as they did last year in beating United? Manager Nuno Espirito Santo is spending the early part of the season juggling his squad between the top flight and Europa League qualifiers. He says they can't look back on their success from last campaign.
I'm realistic that we are only starting. This is the start of a new season with different challenge that we want to embrace. So we required much more from us. We have to work harder and better.
Bayern Munich have signed Brazilian playmaker Philip Coutinho. He's joined the German side from Barcelona on a season-long loan, after which the German club have the option to buy him permanently for a fee of around €120 million. Coutinho has disappointed in Spain since his big money move from Liverpool in January 2018. Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill says Oliver Norwood's retirement from international football is a huge mistake. Norwood confirmed this morning his international football days are over, with the 28-year-old set to concentrate on club football with Sheffield United. Norwood has played 57 times since making his debut under O'Neill. The manager says the midfielder's decision to step aside is premature. One game in the Donegal Youth League tonight. Cadhu Rovers play Milford United. That one kicks off down in Cadhu at 7 o'clock this evening. On the golf front, the European Tour have announced a 4-point plan to tackle slow play, including a shortened process before players could be handed a one-shot penalty. Financial penalties will also be increased from around €10,000 up to €28,000 for players who are regularly timed by officials during the season. Members will have to pass online rules tests, as well as field sizes and fully sanctioned events being reduced from 156 to a minimum of 144. Finally, just one other piece of golf news. Amateur champion James Sugar is one of three Irish players named in the Britain and Ireland squad for the Walker Cup. Kieran Rafferty and Connor Purcell have also been selected in the 10-man team that will face the United States at Hoylake on September the 7th and 8th. That's it, Michaela. Next bulletins tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, there were 19 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, four of them on emergency department trolleys. According to the INMO, 484 admitted patients were without beds across the country this morning, the largest number 62 at a university hospital, Limerick. Rehab Group is calling for the axing of a disability allowance to be reversed or stalled. The Rehabilitative Training Alliance funding for college students goes towards activities, transport and daily needs. The funding amounts to just under €32 per person per week. The cuts come as thousands of pupils will enter third level education in the coming weeks. Director of the charity, Kathleen O'Meara, says it means a lot to those who receive it.
You're looking at a saving of €3.5 million, you know, over a period of years, which is very small money considering the size of the HSE budget. But we don't think that's what it's about. We don't really know why this decision has been made. There's clearly some reason why this is happening. We don't know what it is, but we do know that it's going to have a huge impact, and the decision needs to be stalled or reversed right now.
There are fears someone will be seriously injured or worse unless action is taken to repair the Glen Road in Annagry. The road is currently in a very dangerous state with part of the route falling away. €15,000 has already been allocated for works to be carried out, but local councillor Micheál Colmogill-Osbaig believes this is nowhere near enough. He is calling on Donegal County Council to urgently address the issue.
There's been a problem on the Glen Road for a very long time, and I suppose ideally what needs to happen on the Glen Road, it's not just that these points needs to be sorted out with proper piping and the area built up, but probably the whole Glen Road needs to be widened completely. It's one of the main arteries in West Donegal, especially people coming from south heading towards the airport. There is a concern by local residents. I've been talking about it for a very, very long time, and there's been some money granted now to carry out some works, but I don't believe myself that it's enough money. I had the Director of Roads, John McLaughlin, up looking at it, and other engineers, where I've been expressing my concern, which has been expressed to me on a very regular basis by residents Arbala Nagama on the Glen Road. So something needs to happen here very quickly before anybody gets seriously hurt. We've known that the Glen Road is very narrow. There's been a bridge up there that was quite regular for cars to run into it. There's heavy traffic on that road, and there are people also living on the Glen Road who don't have cars, and they'd love to go out for walks, but unfortunately they feel it's far too dangerous to walk the Glen Road, because parts of the road, as you can see on my Facebook, is that if you take one step at all off the main carriage, you're talking about ending up in a stream.
The Health Minister says the construction of a new ward at University Hospital Limerick will be supervised. It's emerged that the HSE awarded the contract for the 60-bed facility to Western Building Systems. The company built 42 schools around the country that have been found to have structural problems, including Letterkenny Educate Together National School. It's understood remedial and precautionary works at Letterkenny Educate Together will be completed outside of school hours, and it will reopen as planned for the new school term. Minister Simon Harris says he spoke with hospital management earlier today.
Obviously, the awarding of a contract is a process that I have no role in. Public procurement rules are very clear in relation to European law and national law, and I don't intend to say anything to jeopardise this project. What the HSE can do, and I mean this in a general sense, is obviously make sure there's appropriate site supervision for any project that they award a contract, and I've been discussing that with them today and expect that will be in place in Limerick.
And finally, a number of bank customers are having problems accessing their credit card balance online. The IT issue is impacting Bank of Ireland and AIB customers. The cards are fully operational, however, customers cannot view their transactions online. Both banks have apologised for the inconvenience and say they are working to resolve the issue as soon as possible. For weather now, tonight there will be further showers with lowest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees and light to moderate west to southwest breezes. Tomorrow will start cloudy with occasional outbreaks of rain in the morning. In the afternoon, the rain will turn more showery with some sunny spells. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, it's emerged that €108,000 has been spent by the government on security at the Cashelmara Hotel since the beginning of the year. The building in Moville has been under guard since it was badly damaged in a fire last November. The fire came shortly after it was revealed that the hotel was to be used as a direct provision centre for asylum seekers waiting to have their cases heard. Residents in Calais are calling on Donegal County Council to install traffic calming measures in a bid to reduce the speed of motorists travelling through the border village. There is mounting that someone will be killed unless urgent action is taken to reduce speed in the area. There's concern that the €300 million overspend in the capital plan for nursing homes will impact projects in Donegal. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher says the overspend is particularly worrying, as despite years of discussion, the plan does not count additional commitments given to add three Donegal facilities to the plan. And the Donegal County Council is calling on Social Protection Minister Regina Doherty to consider her position after the Data Protection Commission found the state use of the public services card to be illegal. In March of last last year, Councillor Albert Doherty successfully moved a motion calling for the rollout of the cards to be suspended after a constituent complained that he was required to have a card in order to renew his passport and driving licence. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Monday evening, August the 19th. The death has taken place of Margaret Monaghan, née Gallagher, Tulnery, Carndonagh and formerly of Meanderry, Fulcara. Her remains will be reposing at her home from 7 o'clock this evening. House private today for family members only and on the morning of the funeral. Visiting tomorrow from 12 noon until 8 p.m. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in the Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers to the oncology unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Liam Collins, funeral director, or any family member. The death has taken place of Francis Sonny Devine, 57 Camas Road, Douglas Bridge. Sonny's remains will repose overnight in St Mary's Oratory, Newton Stewart, from 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in St Eugene's Cemetery, Glenoch. The death has occurred of Stanley Stan Boyle, 87A Hawthorne Heights, Letterkenny. Cremation to take place at Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan. And the death has occurred of Robin Wheeler, née Watson, Rathmullen. Her remains will repose at her home in Bray House from 6 o'clock this evening, with prayers at 8 o'clock for family and close friends. Prayers again tomorrow afternoon before removal to St Columba's Church of Ireland for 2 o'clock at funeral service. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Michael Wee Funeral Directors or any family member.